So good morning and welcome. Thank you for joining us this morning. Today we're going to be talking about a portion of the proposed budget for 2022, the outreach portion of the budget. You should have received a copy of this proposed budget portion with the Zoom link, and I believe there are some there in the fellowship hall. But if it's not handy, that really doesn't matter. We'll display the important portions as we go through the presentation this morning. There'll be an opportunity to ask questions as we discuss each of the sections of the budget, so feel free to ask your questions. Now, what we'll be discussing today is the outreach portion of the 2022 current fund budget, but I want to start by saying thank you. This congregation, you are very generous in your support of outreach to our community and to the world. During 2021, in addition to the almost $77,000 of outreach through the current fund, you've been involved with outreach to our community, to the world, and in many, many ways. So you're very generous. Thank you. We have a good-sized committee of dedicated people on outreach. Many of our members work very closely with one or more of the organizations that we support. Our intent is for St. Andrews to collaborate with or partner with these organizations. You get a chance to hear from some of the members of the committee about various ministries this morning. So we'll get a chance to cover that as we go through that. And although we have a good number of people on this committee, we're always open to new people interested in supporting outreach efforts. These are the core values that guide the focus of our outreach efforts. As the committee reviews the organizations that we support or considers supporting a new organization, consider whether the organization's mission fits with our core values. As you can see, the core values are affordable housing or homelessness, hunger, food security, and education, primarily Christian education. And we address these values both with local ministries and with global ministries. We have an evaluation process that we use when we take and evaluate an organization as to whether we're going to support it, continue to support it, or looking at new organizations. First off, we look to see if the mission of that organization fits with our core values. In addition, we consider several other criteria. One is whether members of St. Andrews are currently involved with that organization or could be involved. We like to have a collaboration or partnership with the organizations that we support. As I mentioned, many of our members of this committee work closely with one or more of the organizations. They act as a liaison. We want St. Andrews to understand what the organization's needs are and how we can best meet those. And at the same time, we'd like the organization to understand what St. Andrews' capabilities are and how we can work together. These connections are formed in different ways. Sometimes a person joins the committee and gets connected to an organization we've supported for many years. Sometimes a person hears of an organization that we're considering supporting or support, and they decide to join the committee to be that liaison. Now, other things that we consider are how the organization is rated by the various charity rating companies and what kind of financial accountability we can track on us. So these are all important things that we look at when we evaluate an organization. My slides keep jumping forward too fast. Anyway, here's an overview of the budget, and it should match the handout, but if you don't have the handout in front of you, I'll have it on the slide here. We knew from watching the 2021 income and expenses throughout the year, that we'd need to have a smaller budget for 2022. As the finance team projected income and adjusted the plan expenses, we ended up with a proposed outreach budget of $66,750. You can see that. And this puts our 2022 budget at 86.7% of what we had for 2021, or down about 13%. Now, not on the slide, but on the handout, there is a calculation of the outreach percentage of the current fund budget. At the council meeting last Monday, the council made a change to the 2022 expenses portion of that budget, and I believe you'll hear more about that next week. But as a percentage of the projected income, the outreach budget is 8.36%, I believe, and if you include the money that the congregation has pledged to HopeLink in that calculation, we come out at just over 10% of our proposed income. So just wanted to cover that. I'm having trouble controlling my slides here. So we will talk about each section of the outreach budget, starting with housing and hunger. This slide shows the details of that portion of the budget. The items there with the stars by them are areas that one of our liaisons will talk a little bit more about as we go forward. But first, are there any questions about the items on this chart? We took a careful look at what we were supporting, and we took a pretty good drop in our support for Synod last year, and decided that this year we'd try to maintain the same value for our Synod benevolence as we had last year, but it was a significant drop from the year before. It was $25,000 prior to that.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure. Any other questions? In the room? Okay. So the first one we'll talk about is congregations for the homeless, and Cheryl Juris will give us an update on that. I'll just give you can hear me there in the fellowship hall, all right? Okay. So as you know, we've supported congregations for the homeless for a good number of years. For 2 years now, we've supported or hosted the rotating shelter in our fellowship hall in the church, and the plan is to do that again this year. We've got a number of members that work closely with various aspects of our support for congregations for the homeless, and look to possibly, as we're building a new facility, that may be another closer connection, because it'll be located very close to our facility. So let's move on, and if we need to, we can come back to that. So the next portion is the Sophia Way, and Joyce Arnold will give us an update on that.
Good morning. For Sophia Way, I am very involved with them, and unfortunately with the pandemic, we can't see each other face to face, but we still are involved. Beginning in 2008 is when Sophia Way started, and now it has taken care of over 5,000 women on the east side who are homeless. If you get a chance, go to the website and see the story about Deborah, to hear about a typical homeless woman who now has her own apartment and is getting a lot of support also. There's Helen's Place in Kirkland and Sophia's Place in Bellevue. And, you know, we do a lot of meals for Sophia's Place. And as a something to think about, our next meal we're going to give them is on March 30th for lunch. That means on March 29th, I'll be collecting food. And gosh, you can bake a casserole, or you can give us water. It can be anything easy or anything more difficult. It'd be wonderful to have more people involved. Also, we have a support network that meets once a month and talks about what's going on in Sophia Way. If you want to learn more about it, anybody can come to that too. So let me know if you're interested in any of those things to learn more how we help these ladies. So I did it fast, I think, and I'm ready for the next person.
Any questions for Joyce? Okay. So the next one I want to talk about it is HopeLink. You likely noticed that the amount for the HopeLink in this year's budget has gone to zero. This certainly doesn't mean that we are stopping our support for HopeLink. We will continue to support HopeLink in many ways, the Corner of Blessing, Super Bowl of Caring, maybe even emergency bags this year. But late in the budgeting process, we were asked to make an additional reduction to our budget to enable finance to have create a balanced budget. And it was suggested that since members from the congregation had pledged over $15,000 to support HopeLink during 2022, it would be a clean way to trim our budget and still provide strong support for HopeLink. So we decided to go ahead and do that. HopeLink Food Bank in Bellevue is an organization that St. Andrews has worked closely with. It's located just down 148th Street at Main. And at the end of 2021, they started accepting food donations again. They hadn't been doing that throughout the pandemic. So in December, we delivered 377 pounds of baking goods to HopeLink. And in January, we've been collecting pasta and pasta sauce for them. And come February, throughout the month of February, we will be collecting items as part of the Super Bowl of Caring. So for more information on the Super Bowl of Caring, look for the February Voice and things in the upcoming bulletins. One of the real great things about HopeLink is that the many services that they provide beyond food. People that get connected with the food bank also have access or learn about these other services that they have. Kenny Fox of HopeLink will be making a presentation on what HopeLink is doing in our community at our February 20th forum. So you might look forward to that. Okay.
In the chat.
Questions on HopeLink? We talked about putting a token amount in the budget, but felt that since St. Andrews would be sending a check every couple months, with probably a couple $1,000, depending whether it's 2 months or 3 months, depending on how they set that up.
Okay.
Adding a little bit to that really wouldn't probably even be noticed by HopeLink.
I see. And so the contributions that individuals have pledged to HopeLink are going to flow through the church?
Yes. They'll flow through the church, and we'll be sending a check on a regular basis, just like we have in the past. So, from HopeLink's perspective, they'll see pretty much the same support from St. Andrews. Let's move on and hear about backpack meals for kids from Jay Baxter. Jay?
Good morning. I became involved with the outreach committee when I heard that they were looking for a liaison between the church and backpack meals for kids. Take a look at the annual report, because Dick did a very good job of describing what goes on with this group. There is also their website, and I would encourage you to take a look at it. I think the main thing that I would like to bring forth is this is a completely a volunteer group. Everything is done by volunteers. They aren't, at this point, they don't have any grants, so all their money comes from donations, places like Microsoft and Windermere. Last year, $14,000 of their $140,000 budget came from different churches, St. Andrews being one of them. I have functioned as a volunteer. It's not very hard work. Every Thursday, I go and pick up meals and deliver them to two different schools. And once a week, about 450 meals of non-perishable items are delivered for the kids that would go hungry over the weekend if they didn't have these meals. And then we deliver on Thursday, and they're discreetly given to the students on Friday. I don't know if you have any questions. I'd be happy to answer them if I can. I know the organization started around 2011, so it's a fairly new organization. And Jan Starr, who is very much involved with the organization, I believe sometime in March, April, is going to be giving a presentation at one of the forums.
Thanks, Jay. Any questions for Jay? So just, again, going over the hunger and housing portion of the budget.
I was going to say that we have 100 men in the emergency shelter and day center, which is open 24/7, and over 100 men in subsidized apartments and group homes. 50 men are in a motel program where they are isolated for health reasons.
Not hearing anything from the fellowship hall. Okay. Well, let's proceed. Anyway, there was a question about the support through the Synod, and that is the Northwest Synod does receive money from the congregation's benevolence fund that's used for a lot of the different operations of the Northwest Synod, helping start new congregations, supporting those various kinds of ministries and so forth. We have, I think, when we get to the last portion of the budget, we'll talk a little bit about there's two different contributions to the Synod. Okay. So we'll cover that in a little bit. Is that all right? Okay. Then next section we want to talk about is...
Hey, Dick. Sorry, we're playing around with audio on this end. Mm-hmm. So now we can't hear you.
You can't hear us.
You off so that you can hear through the phone. So Cheryl can finish talking about Congregation for the Homeless.
Okay. We'll try it again here. So let me just mention, some of you already know there was a groundbreaking last week on January 12th for the new permanent emergency shelter, which is just down the road by the Humane Society. And there's going to be apartments there too for low-income apartments for men, women, and families moving out of homelessness. And also we opened a new men's shop, some of you know about, at the emergency shelter, and men are getting jeans and sweatshirts and shoes. They're getting brand new shoes. They got over 60 pairs of brand new shoes, which were paid for by members of our church who helped me with shopping and getting shoes. So the men are thrilled with all of this. They make requests, and then we try to fill the requests for a Bible, a sewing kit, you know, whatever it is that they need. So it's a wonderful opportunity to serve. I'm done.
Okay. Thanks, Cheryl. So our next section we want to talk about is education. This is shows the details of the education portion of our outreach budget. And again, the ones with stars we'll hear more about. But before we do that, any questions on what you see on this chart? Okay, so let's move on to Navajo Lutheran Mission and Becca Peel.
Sorry, we're coordinating our flipping switches skills over here. I'm really excited to talk about the Navajo Evangelical Lutheran Mission. The campus is something that a relationship that Jean Wallstrom also started with Pastor Kate, who helps oversee. While she is overseeing the campus that is there, she is not part of the administration. We want to make sure the Navajo population is working at supporting their community. So she's just kind of the liaison of the ELCA. And what's great about this mission is that it supports elementary school classes as well as provides meals for the community. And it's just a great location of with a nurse stop, different housing available if people need a stop along the way. It was a beautiful campus to visit, and we're hoping to do it again at the end of June into beginning of July. So if you are interested in joining a mission outreach trip, please feel free to reach out to me, where it'll be a joint partnership with Magnolia Lutheran Church.
Thank you, Becca. Any questions for Becca? Okay. The next piece is on the Zeig Girls Lutheran Secondary School scholarships, and Jean Wallstrom will give us an update on that.
Okay, just a quick update for most of you are more familiar with this, except that they have expanded their program under Operation Bootstrap Africa to take in now 65 girls as preform or as the new class. And OBA has taken a bit of a leap here because to find scholarships for this is now double. They had this the second year they've been doing 50 last year, 65 this year. But it's doubling so that there's two classes now because they're finding that the girls in the interior still aren't being reached. Because the way the country is set up, you don't have a lot of circulation of, you can't get product to and from. It's very isolated on the interior. So many of those girls still are not having opportunity. So that's one of the things to be concerned about is to pray for additional scholarship help for the girls. The second thing is Dr. Msanjili, our head of school that has been there for now a good 15 years, he retires next February. So we're really praying that whoever the diocese selects, and it will be a woman, but we don't know who and et cetera. And OBA people, the executive director, Jason, will be a part of that discussion a little bit because he holds the green card. The piece about what's going to take place in the future. But be praying for Dr. Msanjili in this last year that he can transition leadership, et cetera. And they are pretty, they're, as far as he's concerned, the only kind of building they need to do right now is for teacher housing. Everything else is done on the campus, but they are still very, very deficit in teacher housing. So there you go.
Thank you, Jean. So again, the education portion of the budget. Any other questions on our education section? Okay. Next section I want to talk about is a variety of ecumenical organizations, local organizations that we support. And here's the details of that section of our budget. Again, the item with the star, we'll hear more about from our liaison. But first, are there any questions about what you see on this chart? Okay. So Eastside Baby Corner, and Marlene Thorpe will give us an update there.
Eastside Baby Corner is an organization in Issaquah that collects donations of children's clothing and other materials, diapers, wipes, those for the babies, but also for children up to age 12, all the clothing. They provide baby layettes and cribs and lots of things that families that are struggling can't provide for their families. And so they provide all of those things that kind of helped them succeed. This year, Eastside Baby Corner, St. Andrews Lutheran was involved in the diaper derby, which was an online donation giving. And, you know, they are, we did that because of the pandemic, being able to do it online. Issaquah now is, open to accepting physical donations from people if they go to their organization there at this time. We also, there was another event that was the Pencils and Pants Drive, that where they, what Eastside Baby Corner does is they go to certain churches, and we got to be able to open up our parking lot for them to have this event where all of the people go to these locations that may be closer to them than driving to Issaquah, and donating, you know, clothing and also school supplies for the children at that time. And that was in August. And they surpassed their goal. They got 26,210 items and also money donations. So it was way surpassed their goal. And it was a wonderful thing that St. Andrews was able to be a part of.
Thanks, Marlin. Any questions on Eastside Baby Corner? Okay. So again, just the local portion of the budget. Any final questions on that? Okay. So next we're going to talk about our global involvement. And this is the details of our global budget. To address a question came up earlier before we go on to things was, are we involved in supporting Synod or ELCA other than the Synod donation? And you can see the ELCA global mission is something that we support as well. And this is aimed primarily, I believe, at mission kind of work. When Marv and Jean were in Tanzania, support for them came through this organization. So you can see that we support that. Any questions on this before we take a hear from the liaisons on these three organizations marked with stars? Okay. So let's start with the Maasai Girls Lutheran Secondary School and Jean. So she gave us some update as far as the scholarships.
Yep. But I've already mentioned something about this, and I don't think I'll say anything more. The key thing for us is that we have two different places. One is scholarship, and that's where the girls, there are three girls that we are under scholarship and post-secondary. These are girls that have earned their rights to get to university. So that's the 4,200 thing. The other amount is what goes for buying Bibles and going by for continued things. Where you're at in global, that 3,500 is what continues to go towards Bibles. And right now it's going towards pandemic supplies. This is what they're using a lot of it to trying to keep the girls safe at this particular point. But so that's how it's differentiated between the scholarship, which goes directly for support of girls at university versus the other. And I won't say anything more, except to maybe one comment. ELCA Global Mission, that $900 is because we want to maintain relationship with a larger global mission people of the ELCA, because it gives us a voice to be able to contribute and talk with Chicago people about where what Global Mission is doing. And that keeps us in relationship there. But that's enough for me. We really got to go. I'm going to jump down to Plaster House.
Yep.
Simply saying that the biggest thing is that Sarah is planning to come through again in May. So she will be here on May 8th. On that weekend with, it'll be a combination of Cross of Christ and with Maasai Girls School, St. Andrews, more yet to come, but she's starting with Seattle, so she's not going to get Omicron infected. instead, she promises that. And, but the biggest thing is for Plaster House this year, besides the result of the donations, they were able to fix 1,200 kids this year. They reached their goal and more. And next year they have a similar goal of 1,000. And the other thing is that they're trying to develop satellite programs so they can be near another surgical hospital someplace in the country. And hopefully that would go. And in the annual report, you'll see the bus that donations from the Northwest were able to purchase in order to get the kids from the site to the hospital and back. And thank you very much from Sarah.
Thank you, Jean. And next we'll hear from...
Hi, Dan. This is Shanna.
Hi.
Hi. And I am speaking briefly about Lantern Hill. Lantern Hill's mission is to break the chains of poverty through education, nutrition, and care. And the building that you're seeing on the right is the new building that was just opened up this past summer. And this is a very special connection to St. Andrews because our Mexico 12 that St. Andrews sent in June of 2019 was very paramount at the very early building of this. And I wish I actually had a picture of what we saw when we got there to what that is now. It is in the translation of Spanish, Linternal del Camino means the lantern at the end of the path. And this truly is at the, when you come into this community, a very, very poor community. Typically children, if they make it to the sixth grade, that has been considered success. And Lantern Hill's goal is to support these children, walk beside them from elementary to university. And currently we're serving 100 kids, including 8 in university currently. And we are supporting 4 teachers. And very similar to the Navajo mission, it is to support the teachers within the community. So Friends of Lantern Hill is the supportive board that just provides the support and helping with finances. And all I can say is every dollar counts. Thank you so much to individuals as well as the outreach group that we provided $3,400 this last year, and it made a huge difference. We served many, many meals, provided many families with the basics. Food in Mexico is just extremely expensive, and keeping these kids in school has just been considered, which is all online. So Lantern Hill is providing those tutoring that these kids can actually have access to computers and continue learning. COVID-19 has really taken quite an effect on third world countries, and Mexico is no different. So sincerely, from the bottom of my heart, thank you for the support that St. Andrews continues to provide. It's making a huge difference in the lives of many.
Thank you. Shannon, any questions on Lantern Hill? Okay. So again, summary of the global portion of the budget. Any final questions on that section? Okay. I'm just going to mention briefly because we're out of time, but we do put away some of our budget each year for new opportunities, things that come up during the year that we didn't anticipate, and so that St. Andrews can respond to those things. And of course, don't know what we're going to support with our money for 2022. In 2021, there were 6 different organizations that we supported, from Lutheran World Relief, disaster response kinds of things, support for Afghan refugees, and so forth. So we try to do a good job of recognizing and responding to things that come up during the year. So I'm going to jump down here to, this is the one I wanted to just kind of final summary and just see if there are any questions that we didn't cover so far. Okay. Well, I think we're out of time. I want to thank you for joining us, participating this morning in the discussion. We appreciate that. And also, if anyone is attracted to or sees things that you'd like to be attached to or have attachment to and like to be part of the outreach team, we'd be glad to have you. So again, thank you for being part of the discussion this morning.